KLAK 1260 AM Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Justin Finch. Air quality issues that plagued the East Coast a few weeks ago now hitting Chicago and Milwaukee due to wildfires in Canada. ABC's Alex Perez in Chicago says it's been bad, but should start to clear up soon.
Chicago's air listed in the unhealthy category, meaning it could be harmful for some, especially those with respiratory issues. The conditions prompting Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson to issue a statement warning people to avoid strenuous activities and limit their time outdoors.
That smoky air, part of the problem, but not all of the problem behind thousands of flight cancellations and delays at airports. Air traffic staffing problems in the Northeast also having an effect nationwide. President Biden will be in Chicago today presenting his new economic plan. The White House calls it Bidenomics. Following the aborted mutiny by Wagner Group mercenaries, NATO is reacting by beefing up Europe's eastern flank. This is ABC News. Former President Trump striking back in court against a woman who sued him for defamation. He's now suing writer E. Jean Carroll also for defamation. The jury in Carroll's lawsuit held Trump liable for sexually assaulting her. New charges a year after more than 50 undocumented immigrants died after being trapped in a sweltering trailer in Texas.
Two men were taken into custody immediately after the tragedy of June 27, 2022, but investigators believe that others were involved in the smuggling of people from Mexico, Guatemala, and Honduras into the U.S. Assistant Attorney General Kenneth Polite says,
"When you ignore the screams of humanity solely for profit, we will bring you and the members of your organization to justice."
Jim Ryan, ABC News, Dallas.
The CEO of Microsoft due on the stand today defending plans to buy video game company Activision. Federal regulators are suing to stop the deal. Justin Finch, ABC News.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation.
Here's what you need to know in Western Wisconsin. Good morning, I'm Jimmy Kuska. The most significant air quality issues of the year are happening right now in Wisconsin. The Wisconsin DNR has issued an air quality advisory through noon tomorrow due to wildfire smoke from Canada. The air is unhealthy for everyone, and when the air quality is this low, the DNR says people should spend less time outdoors, especially children and those with health concerns. The Washburn County Sheriff's Office said a man is in custody after leading deputies on a high-speed chase earlier this week that spanned two counties. On Sunday night, deputies tried to stop a vehicle for speeding, but the driver took off, reaching speeds of over 100 miles per hour. They eventually went through a campground and got away. Monday morning, the vehicle was found and the driver again fled. Deputies shot out the tires and the man driving the vehicle then ran into the woods in Burnett County, where he was later found. One deputy was hurt. The man is in custody at the Washburn County Jail. And most of western Wisconsin has a slight risk of severe weather today, hail being the main threat. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Wachs has a track record of making life-changing, positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to three different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs, 855-954-1186.
Larry, it's your mom. Did you know the Civic Media Network covers the whole state of Wisconsin? They can help your business get the word out, whether you want to reach a smidge of folks or just want the whole kit and caboodle. Call 608-819-8255. Okay then, bye.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of insane out there. In roller derby, it's not a game, it's a bout. And each jam is filled with insane drive blocks and rushing soul crushes that rip shivers through your toe stocks. Pace line, pivot line, jam a grand slam, whip a scoring pass, or you're down with rink rash. Yeah, there's a whole lot of insane out there. And every Wisconsin roller derby girl knows to be insanely good on the flat track, you can't be insanely drunk. And if you can't be drunk on those wheels, you'd be super insane to roll drunk on your car's wheels. So take it from Wisconsin's best jammers, blockers, and pivots. When it comes to driving,
drive sober on the road,
no matter how many wheels you roll.
Because you can't lap the pack with an OWI riding your back. So ladies and guys, drive sober or get pulled over. And let's reduce fatalities on Wisconsin roadways. Download the free Drive Sober app with a Find a Ride feature, awesome videos, and more at WITrafficSafety.org.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry
and Jane Matinere.
Before I send boxes over, I have to take all of my things out. These boxes were interspersed with all sorts of things.
But who doesn't stuff their pants and their shoes into a box full of work documents to sort out later? Every time I leave a job, that's what I end up doing with my box of work papers. Bras go in there and just, you know, and I'll sort it out later.
As Goes Wisconsin, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Why a RICO charge, counselor? What's that mean to the layperson?
It was written for organized crime, Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act. That's where RICO comes from. The notion that you've got an entity whose purpose is to try to perpetuate some crime. It's more than just a singular event. It is a composite of kind of a corporate conspiracy doing things toward this illegal end.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Somewhere 8 minutes after 9 o'clock now. Led Zeppelin for you on a Wednesday morning. Earlier we talked about the fact that singer Robert Plant out on the road right now with Alison Krauss, doing their tour together from after completing their second album together. I think it's what been 10 years or so since that first one came out, but Robert Plant, as usual, sounding good these days from what I've been reading. And I hope you're having a good day so far. If you want to join the conversation, feel free. 715-388-7155 is the phone number. Been discussing several topics today, including what's going on with the air that we breathe, smoke and haze throughout much of the state today. And also discussing the way that polling is changing, political polling, trying to figure out where people stand as far as how they may vote. But one thing I did want to get to was more information about the air quality. There is an air quality advisory issued for the entire state of Wisconsin through noon tomorrow. And there is an explanation here in the Wisconsin State Journal by Margot Amiol. It says dangerously unhealthy air from Canadian wildfires blanketed the state on Tuesday, sending people indoors or scrambling for masks and forcing the cancellation of outdoor activities from day camps to Wednesday's inaugural 2023 concert on the square in Madison. The State Department of Natural Resources issued an air quality advisory for all of Wisconsin until noon on Thursday. It's the ninth time this year the state has warned against high levels of fine particulate matter known as PM2.5. It says here the state has not had a springtime PM2.5 advisory for wildfire smoke since the year 2011, said Craig Czarnecki, outreach coordinator for the DNR's air management program. That year, Czarnecki said, there was one of those warnings and or advisory, air quality advisory. The heaviest smoke is expected to cloud the eastern portion of the state, where the air quality index will likely range between unhealthy and very unhealthy, potentially reaching the highest level called or known as hazardous. The biggest threat to public health is through noon on Wednesday, the DNR reported. And it says here, this is a significant event, and we recommend everyone take steps to limit their outdoor activities, said Mark Werner, director of the Bureau of Environmental and Occupational Health at the State Department of Health Services. He said, staying indoors is probably the best thing to do. Everyone should avoid prolonged or heavy exertion outdoors, while people with heart or lung disease, older adults, and children should avoid all physical activities outdoors, the DNR said. Exposure to wildfire smoke can cause immediate health effects, including coughing, trouble breathing, stinging eyes, scratchy throat, runny nose, shortness of breath, headaches, tiredness, among other symptoms. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommends staying indoors and using an air filter whenever possible. A mask may offer some protection. However, to be effective, masks should be of the N95 variety, paper masks or dust masks, typically found at hardware stores, are designed to protect against large particles, but will not protect against the finer particles contained in the wildfire smoke. And another area that was affected by the smoke, or another area that is being affected, are day camps. It says here, area day camps were also looking for alternatives to vigorous outdoor activities yesterday. There's a place called Best Summer Camp, a sports and karate-focused program for 5 to 12-year-olds, and that's on Madison's west side. They moved all of their programming indoors yesterday. Also, children at an outdoor camp run by Devil's Lake Climbing Guides spent the day paddleboarding rather than playing running games, said Nick Wilkes, owner and lead guide. I feel like we have never had it this bad, so we are still adjusting, he said. And I think that's most of what's in here. There's a little bit more. It says, Dyer said leadership will continue to monitor and follow guidance from the DMR or DNR. It says here, the smoke from the Canadian wildfires has spread to many states in the Great Lakes region, with Chicago, Milwaukee, and Minneapolis reporting some of the worst air quality in the world this week, according to the Air Quality Monitor IQ Air. In Michigan, the state's Department of Environment, Great Lakes, and Energy also issued an air quality alert for the entire state yesterday. And the air quality in Wisconsin is expected to improve to the good and moderate ranges by the 4th of July weekend, the DNR's Czarnecki said. He said, we are in the worst of it right now. So take precautions. You know, this is something very serious. And it's not going to get better for a few days. So let's just try to bear with it and take as many precautions as we can so that we all stay as healthy as we can, right? Hey, the other thing I wanted to get to here, or the next thing I wanted to get to, as we work our way through the 9 o'clock hour, got 9:14 right now, is this big ruling that came down from the Supreme Court yesterday. Many say it's something that will help democracy, right? You heard about this, what do they call it? The independent legislature.
The independent state legislature.
Yeah, independent state legislature. Thank you. So this is a theory that some of these Republicans have been putting forth, saying that the legislature in a state can change the results of the state's election. If they think there was a problem, or they think, well, it depends on which state, but they could just throw out how the people voted. Well, the Supreme Court yesterday, even though it's a conservative-leaning Supreme Court, said, no, no, you can't do that. There's a reason why the courts in each state have a say-so over how the elections are handled. I got a story here from Yahoo News kind of explains what happened. The headline is Supreme Court election law ruling heralded as a win for democracy, but it's not all good news. The subheadline says the traumatic aftermath to the 2020 election has now produced a definitive response from both Congress and the Supreme Court. This is written by John Ward and posted last night. Said the Supreme Court's ruling in an election law case Tuesday prompted many loud commendations from those who celebrated the majority conservative court's rejection of something called the independent state legislature theory, the ISLT. That theory, argued by the North Carolina legislature in Moore versus Harper, a dispute between the legislature and the state Supreme Court over the redrawing of congressional maps, claims that the state courts should not have any role in constraining the legislature when it comes to election law. In a statement issued after the ruling yesterday, former President Barack Obama called that independent state legislature theory a fringe theory that, quote, threatened to upend our democracy and dismantle our system of checks and balances by giving state legislatures near total control of federal election laws. This ruling is a resounding rejection of the far-right theory that has been peddled by election deniers and extremists seeking to undermine our democracy, Obama said. Rick Hasen, director of the Safeguarding Democracy Project at UCLA, said that the ISLT, the independent state legislature theory, could have, quote, paved the way for state legislatures to engage in election subversion, end quote. Republicans tried to overturn the 2020 presidential election following Donald Trump's loss to Joe Biden, despite any evidence of widespread fraud or irregularities which drove concerns about the ISLT and future elections. Some election experts, however, called these fears overblown. Quote, those who worry about state legislative rejection of the presidential popular vote may be looking in the wrong direction, wrote Bob Bauer and Jack Goldsmith, two constitutional law experts with extensive experience in government. But conservative legal scholar J. Michael Ludig, a former federal judge, called the decision a resounding and reverberating victory for American democracy. Okay, this guy is a conservative legal scholar, but he still says it's a resounding and reverberating victory for American democracy. So that's good news, but not all good news. We'll get to a little bit more of this after we take a break. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Yes, I understand that every life must end. As we sit alone, I know someday we must go. Oh, I'm a lucky man to count.
When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs today, 855-954-1186.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson & Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
with one call, the Civic Media Network of stations can deliver your business's message to the entire state of Wisconsin.
Or your hometown.
Marketing plans that work for your business. One call can do it all. Civic Media, 608-819-8255. Summer has finally arrived in Wisconsin, and it's time to make your brand shine. Become a weather sponsor in the month of June and take advantage of a very special offer. Buy one weather sponsorship for just $75 and get a second sponsorship free. Yup, BOGO. That's 20 ads per day for 2 days every hour. This weather sponsorship buy one, get one offer absolutely ends on June 30th. Call now, 608-949-8989. 608-949-8989. It's BOGO. 608-949-8989.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Here's your updated forecast. Scattered thunderstorms likely this afternoon. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. High temperatures reach up to 78. Southerly winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Scattered thunderstorms likely. Tonight, lows level off around 63. Cloudy skies expected. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms likely. Highs level off around 85. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 70.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. At 10, As Goes Wisconsin. Then at noon, Civic Media Network News. On Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Chips cash in, keep trucking. Like the dude of man together. More or less in line. Just keep trucking on.
Flashing marquees out on Main Street, Chicago, New York, Detroit, and it's all on the same street. A typical city involved in a typical daydream. Hang it up and see what tomorrow brings.
Dallas got a soft machine. Houston, too close to New Orleans. New York got the ways and means and just won't let you be.
Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. 22 minutes after 9 o'clock right now. Hope you're having a good day. We've been discussing several topics, most recently this Supreme Court decision yesterday. And this Supreme Court decision kind of threw out this idea of independent state legislatures being able to control elections in their states without any oversight by the courts. And I've been going over this story from Yahoo News that kind of explained things and how it's going to affect us, mostly in good ways, but not all in good ways. That theory, the ISLT, Independent State Legislature Theory, paved the way for state legislatures to engage in election subversion, according to Rick Hasen, director of the Safeguarding Democracy Project at UCLA. And according to, let's see, conservative legal scholar J. Michael Ludig, a former federal judge, he said the decision yesterday was a resounding and reverberating victory for American democracy. The ISLT, Ludig told Slate's Dahlia Lithwick, was, quote, the centerpiece of the efforts to overturn the 2020 election. I guess it was a 6-3 decision, so three of the Supreme Court justices, at least, were willing to let legislatures, state legislatures, decide elections. This piece from Yahoo News goes on and says, nonetheless, concerns about the ISLT extended beyond election subversion to how much impunity state legislatures would have to draw congressional districts without any oversight or check on their power. But election experts like Hasen also said that while the 6-3 decision rejecting North Carolina Republicans' attempt to give state legislatures almost total control of election law was a definitive win, they also cautioned that the decision had some bad news in it as well. Chief Justice John Roberts, in his majority opinion, rejected the idea that state legislatures can do whatever they want with no input from state courts, but he also enshrined in legal precedent that the federal courts have a role in this process too. Just as the Supreme Court intervened in the 2000 presidential election, handing the presidency to Republicans with its decision in Bush v. Gore, which we found out after the counting of the votes in Florida was complete, that Al Gore actually won Florida that year and should have been president. But the Supreme Court stopped the counting and said, well, we're done counting now. It's been long enough. Let's just put George Bush into office. Here's a quote. Make no mistake, this gives the U.S. Supreme Court the ultimate say over the meaning of state law in the midst of an election dispute. This is a bad but not awful result, Hasen wrote, the guy in charge of the Safeguarding Democracy Project at UCLA. He added it could lead to another Supreme Court intervention in a presidential election. But this decision yesterday from the Supreme Court is still a win for democracy. The traumatic aftermath to the 2020 election has now produced a definitive response from both Congress and the Supreme Court, insulating the nation from similar attempts to overturn elections in the future. Congress last year passed significant reforms to the Electoral Count Act that make it much harder for politicians to discount legitimate votes of American citizens or to try to overturn an election as Trump and his allies attempted to do in 2020. And the Supreme Court decision on Tuesday strips away the foundation of Republican arguments that the election was legally problematic because of state court interventions, wrote New York Times columnist David French. In this way, the ruling dealt a blow to Trump's coup theory, he wrote. The nonpartisan National Task Force on Election Crises put it this way, quote, the court has reduced one of the more serious threats for instability and election crisis. And that's a good thing, right? Even though it's a conservative-leaning court, they voted 6-3 yesterday, or at least in this decision, to maintain democracy and allow the courts in the states to have a say-so in what goes on in the elections instead of just leaving it up to the state legislatures, which in many states are conservative-run because of gerrymandering, because of the way the maps are drawn. So hopefully democracy still has a chance. Let's take a break. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Tom Ankrut. Then at 6, The Maggie Dawn Show. WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Justin Finch. Air quality issues that plagued the East Coast a few weeks ago now hitting Chicago and Milwaukee due to wildfires in Canada. ABC's Alex Perez in Chicago says it's been bad, but should start to clear up soon.
Chicago's air listed in the unhealthy category, meaning it could be harmful for some, especially those with respiratory issues. The conditions prompting Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson to issue a statement warning people to avoid strenuous activities and limit their time outdoors.
That smoky air, part of the problem, but not all of the problem behind thousands of flight cancellations and delays at airports. Air traffic staffing problems in the Northeast also having an effect nationwide. President Biden will be in Chicago today presenting his new economic plan. The White House calls it Bidenomics. Following the aborted mutiny by Wagner Group mercenaries, NATO is reacting by beefing up Europe's eastern flank. This is ABC News.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation.
Here's what you need to know in western Wisconsin. Good morning, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Most of western Wisconsin could see scattered severe storms this evening. The National Weather Service says areas from Polk County down to Eau Claire, La Crosse, and Richland Center all have a slight chance of severe weather, with hail being the main threat. The most significant air quality issues of the year are happening this week in Wisconsin. The DNR issued an air quality advisory through noon tomorrow due to wildfire smoke from Canada. The air is unhealthy for everyone, and when air quality is this low, the DNR says people should spend less time outdoors, especially children and those with health concerns. A man is in custody in Washburn County after leading law enforcement on a chase that spanned 2 days and two counties. The Washburn County Sheriff's Office said the man reached speeds of over 100 miles per hour in getting away from law enforcement on Sunday, even going through a campground to evade arrest. On Monday, his vehicle was found. Deputies shot out the tires, and the man was arrested after fleeing into the woods. He's being held at the Washburn County Jail. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Wachs has a track record of making life-changing, positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to three different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs, 855-954-1186. When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs today, 855-954-1186.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson & Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
Welcome to the Main Street Cafe. You are in Bloomer, a few miles north of Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. A small town, 3,000 people, but there are big things happening at the cafe.
Every year, on the average of about 150,000 pies.
150,000 pies and more than 65 varieties made, sold, and enjoyed here. But can you guess which is the most popular pie choice in Wisconsin? Apple, cherry, or pumpkin? The answer coming up.
Most of it's made by hand. The taste, the flavor. We use real Wisconsin dairy products.
Real dairy products, including free ice cream on your pie and free refills of milk. It's something cafe owner Donnie Stoic likes to brag about.
So our horn I like to toot. We do that every day, not just during June.
As we wrap up our celebration of June Dairy Month, did you guess? Cherry pie is the Wisconsin favorite, according to Instacart. Now we want to know yours and who makes it. Go to our Civic Media Facebook page to share your answer.
Morning. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show, 9:34 right now. Just got an update from the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources saying that Wisconsin's air should start improving today, Wednesday afternoon, and largely be cleared by Friday. So that's some good news, right? This is coming from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, updated just 5 minutes ago. It says Wisconsin's hazy skies should begin to clear this afternoon and should be significantly clearer by Friday morning, according to the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Taylor Patterson, a meteorologist with the National Weather Service, said that the original timeline the DNR gave still looks very likely, as air quality remains very unhealthy this morning. She said it also looks likely that winds on Friday should push out most of the hovering smoke. A quote from Ms. Patterson says, "We're looking at Friday for when things will clear up again, because we are going to see a little bit of a pattern change and some more westerly winds, which will help kind of clear things up and pull air from different areas," Ms. Patterson said. So that's some good news. We've got clearing on the way. But for today and for tomorrow, too, you want to be careful if you're going out there. Try to limit your time, your exposure to the smoke. And just be cautious. Be smart about it, right? Wait a couple of days if you need to do something strenuous outside. Although Aaron, my producer, is going to be moving. What, you got to move tomorrow, right?
Yeah, that'll be interesting. I'll just have to make sure I'm wearing a mask.
Yeah. Oh, and we should mention our programming issue as well. We're not going to be here tomorrow. Is that right?
That's correct. It's either going to be a replay or the Earl Ingram show again. I am not aware of what the current decision is, but one of the two.
Either way, it'll be good. Because if you get to hear the Earl Ingram show, you're going to hear good radio. And if you get to hear a replay of my show, I'm hoping that that's good radio too, but you'll have to decide. But yeah, we'll be back live on Friday after Aaron has moved into his new place. But let me get back to a couple of things that I want to discuss before we wrap things up for the day. How do you feel about the economy? What's your take? Is the current president doing a good job? Some people, if you listen to radio, conservative radio, say that the economy's never been worse, that the United States economy is going to hell in a handbasket, right? Biden's ruined our economy, and that everything was so good under the previous president, and now Biden has ruined it all. But if you look at the statistics, what's really going on, it shows just the opposite. The economy is humming along at a nice rate right now. People are employed. Anybody that's looking for a job should be able to find one. And a lot of businesses seem to be doing fine. And most people seem to be doing okay. You know, the one thing that you can point to is inflation, which we did have a problem with last year and into this year as well. But it does seem to be under control in the last few months. And so what do you think the Biden administration is going to do about this? About this, I guess you could say it's a view of some people that the economy isn't doing as well as it is. Well, the president and his administration have decided to embrace what they call Bidenomics. Biden is going to seek to turn an insult into a strength, according to the story in the Washington Post. This is by Matt Visser. It says, adoption of a conservative barb, known as Bidenomics, is going to be highlighted in a speech today, Wednesday. It also reflects a decision to own the economy, for better or worse. It says here that President Biden was midway through a recent speech at a labor rally when he turned to an explanation of a kitchen table economic philosophy that he says was formed literally at his parents' kitchen table. Quote, the press has now called it Bidenomics, he said. I don't know what the hell that is, end quote. The crowd laughed as he offered, but it's working. 2 weeks later, the White House has mobilized an entire week around elaborating on, reclaiming, and defining just what Bidenomics is, something they have cast expansively as broadening and benefiting the middle class. Yeah, what do you think? It says here the president is scheduled to deliver a major speech on his economic vision Wednesday, today, in Chicago, with an eye to the 2024 campaign. His senior advisors issued a four-page memo on Monday highlighting the concept with subheadlines like Bidenomics is working and the American people strongly support Bidenomics. Biden's newfound embrace of Bidenomics is, in a sense, a reflection of political reality. A president almost always gets saddled with the economy, whether conditions are good and whether he's fully responsible. For the past 2 years, that has at times meant Americans were blaming Biden for inflation without crediting him for job creation, or punishing him for higher grocery prices without applauding lower drug costs. But despite enormous job growth and a fast-paced recovery from the pandemic, Biden and his advisors have long been frustrated that the president is not getting more credit for an economy that by many measures is thriving. Employers added nearly 340,000 jobs last month, defying predictions and continuing a blistering expansion of the labor market. Yet inflation, while slowing to 4% in May, remains persistent in some of the areas that have hurt Americans' budgets. Just over a third of Americans, which is 36%, approved of how Biden was handling the economy in a June Yahoo YouGov poll, while a June Quinnipiac poll found that 24% of Americans rated the nation's economy as excellent or good. Let me ask you this. How would you rate the economy? If you have any opinion on that, give us a call, 715-388-7155. I'd be interested to hear what you have to say. Most Americans arguably have no idea what Bidenomics means. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre said it refers to helping middle-class Americans through efforts like spurring job growth, cutting drug costs, and fighting junk fees. Quote, "You don't like Bidenomics? I think it's pretty clever. It's pretty good," she said Monday when asked why White House officials have suddenly started using the phrase. Quote, "It makes good sense, Bidenomics. It kind of flows off the tongue really well," end quote. Gary Bertless, a senior fellow in economic studies at the Brookings Institution, credited Biden with passing major initiatives through a divided Congress, but he struggled to define what is specifically Biden about Bidenomics. Quote, "There's not distinctive economic policy," he said. "I can't think of what Bidenomics would be, really," he added. He has sympathy for the blue-collar worker and would like to get industries back in the United States where we're not so vulnerable to international interruptions in trade. But that's more of an evolution than a distinctive new policy, end quote. For President Biden, the twist and the challenge is that for much of his presidency, Bidenomics has often been a pejorative. It has been used most frequently by conservative opinion writers, derisively referring to economic policies that they argue triggered higher prices and record inflation. The Washington Examiner ran a column in May of 2021, headlined, "Three Pitfalls of Bidenomics." The New York Post decried the bane of Bidenomics in June of 2021 and bemoaned death by Bidenomics 4 months later. But isn't that the way it always goes? You know, conservative outlets are always bashing whatever the economy may be by any Democratic president. This piece goes on from the Washington Post and says the Wall Street Journal, assessing Bidenomics 101 in July of 2022, concluded, quote, "The president doesn't appear to know anything about how the private economy works," end quote. On June 8th, the paper ran a story headlined Bidenomics and its Contradictions. Later that day, during a news conference with British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak, Biden seemed to refer to that story, publicly using the word Bidenomics for the first time, despite professing some bafflement about the term. The president said, "One of the things that I decided to do," and I find that the Wall Street Journal, and I'm sure there is someone here from the Wall Street Journal and other publications that are talking about Bidenomics, "I didn't realize it was that I had Bidenomics going, is the end quote, or the end of the quote. Embracing a term that was intended as an insult is a bit of a political jujitsu familiar to Biden supporters, who had some success turning "Let's go, Brandon," originally shorthand for an expletive about the president, into "Dark Brandon," a meme of an all-powerful, edgier version of Joe Biden. The effort is also reminiscent of Biden's one-time partner in the White House, Obamacare, referring to the healthcare law signed by President Barack Obama in 2010, was first used by Republicans to express their contempt for the Affordable Care Act, which they saw as an overbearing government program that would intrude into Americans' medical decisions. But within a year of its passage, the term Obamacare was used by both Democrats and Republicans to refer to the Affordable Care Act, as its supporters concluded that it made more sense to welcome the name than to fight it. Quote, "I have no problem with people saying Obama cares," Obama said in 2011. "I do care. If the other side wants to be the folks who don't care, that's fine with me," end quote. Nicknames exhibiting derision or praise for a president's efforts are most common when it comes to the economy, helping partisans deliver a stark message about an often complex series of policy choices. Reaganomics and Clintonomics were often used to describe the economic approaches of Presidents Ronald Reagan and Bill Clinton. They were more catchy and longer lasting than the more cumbersome, less defined Bushonomics, Obamanomics, and Trumponomics, or as Trump's budget director Mick Mulvaney attempted, Maganomics. Paul Harvey, the late radio host, is credited with popularizing the phrase Reaganomics, but the trend of grafting a president's name onto the word economy or economics stretches back for half a century, and there is little secret why it works better with some presidents than others. Quote, "For the omics suffix to work, the president's name must end in the letter N," William Safire explained in a 1992 New York Times On Language column. Quote, "This all began when some of us in 1969 began pushing Nixonomics, although Johnsonomics would have been an effective neologism if it was used, suggesting that Nixonomics was the form's first presidential use. Although there was some straining for Fordonomics and Carternomics, neither got off the ground because of the lack of the concluding letter N." So, I don't know. What do you think about Bidenomics? I say the economy's going pretty good. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
And there's no place I'm going to. Hey, Mr. Tambourine Man, play a song for me. In the jingle jangle morning, I'll come following you. Though I know that evening's empire has returned into sand, vanished from my...
The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Wachs has a track record of making life-changing, positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to three different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs, 855-954-1186.
Calling to win, Gingras Thompson & Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
One call can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media Network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Gary from Sussex. Hey, Gary.
Whose birthday is it? Is it both you guys' birthday, or is it Dom's or Mike's?
It's my birthday today. Mike's was 2 days ago.
I'm going to sing a happy birthday, and I'm going to sing it the right way.
Happy birthday. Birthday to you, Mr. President of his radio station and his sidekick.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
We've all felt left out.
And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Scattered thunderstorms likely this afternoon, otherwise cloudy skies. Highs around 78, winds out of the south, 10 to 15 miles per hour. Scattered thunderstorms likely tonight, lows level off around 63, overcast skies. Scattered thunderstorms again tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 85, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 71.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 12:15, Town Call. 1 p.m., The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn directs WLAK.
Got a job at a local factory. Sent money back home to her family. She said, this is where I belong. This is my home. This is where I belong.
Oh, yeah. Who belongs and who doesn't? That's an interesting question, huh? Some Americans think that there are those who don't belong. They should go back to where they came from. Man, that doesn't sound like the American way to me. We got 9:51 right now on this Wednesday morning. Back for the final segment of the Stu Daniels Show. Thank you for tuning in. And I want to ask my producer, Aaron, let me ask you this. Do you think that the former president, Donald Trump, is an honest guy whose word you can believe?
I don't think I have any words that strongly enough imply the opposite.
Okay. I understand what you're saying.
I trust him less than about as far as I can throw him. He is probably the person on earth that I trust the least.
The biggest liar of all time.
Maybe well, not of all time, but up there.
Well, he may be the biggest liar that ever was in the White House. This is a guest essay, an opinion piece from the New York Times, and the headline on this piece says, this is why Trump lies like there's no tomorrow. Why does he do it? And why do people believe it? Why do people trust him? You know, I've always thought that in politics and even in daily stuff like where you buy things and what things you buy, trust is like the most important issue. Who do you trust? You know, when I'm voting for someone, I want to be able to trust them. I want to know that what they're telling me they're going to do is what they're really going to do. And it seems like Donald Trump is just the opposite. He'll say whatever it takes in the moment. It doesn't matter it doesn't matter anything. It's just what's in the moment. How can I get through this moment by saying whatever it takes? Well, this piece from Thomas Edsel, who, by the way, contributes a weekly column from Washington, D.C. on politics, demographics, and inequality. He's saying this in the New York Times. He said, Donald Trump can lay claim to the title of the most prodigious liar in the history of the presidency. This challenges commonplace beliefs about the American political system. How could such a deceitful and duplicitous figure win the White House in the first place and then retain the loyalty of so many voters after his endless lies were exposed? George Edwards, a political scientist at Texas A&M and a retired editor of Presidential Studies Quarterly, states the case bluntly, quote, Donald Trump tells more untruths than any previous president. What's more, there is no one that is a close second. Trump's deceptions have been explored from several vantage points. Let's take a look at one line of analysis. In 2008, Kang Lee, a developmental psychologist at the University of Toronto, published Lying in the Name of the Collective Good, along with three colleagues, and said, "Lying in the name of the collective good occurs commonly. Such lies are frequently told in business, politics, sports, and many other areas of human life. These lies are so common that they have acquired a specific name. They're called the blue lie, purportedly originating from cases where police officers made false statements to protect the police force or to ensure the success of the government's legal case against an accused person." So how does that relate to the willingness of Republican and conservative voters to tolerate Trump's lies? Not just to tolerate them, but to cast votes for him again and again. In a 2017 Scientific American article building on Lee's research, How the Science of Blue Lies May Explain Trump's Support, by Jeremy Adam Smith, argues that Lee's work highlights a difficult truth about our species. We are intensely social creatures, but we are prone to divide ourselves into competitive groups, largely for the purpose of allocating resources. People can be pro-social, compassionate, empathetic, generous, honest, in their group, and aggressively antisocial toward outgroups. When we divide people into groups, we open the door to competition, dehumanization, violence, and socially sanctioned deceit. If we see Trump's lies, Smith continued, not as failures of character, but rather as weapons of war, then we can come to see why his supporters might view him as an effective leader. From this perspective, lying is a feature, not a bug, of Trump's campaign and presidency. Lee's insights provide a partial explanation for the loyalty to Trump phenomenon, but gaining an understanding of Trump's intractable mendacity requires several approaches. The deference or obeisance of so many seemingly well-informed Republican leaders and millions of Republican voters to Donald Trump's palpably false claims, the most egregious and damaging of which is the claim the 2020 election was stolen from him, raises an intriguing question. How can this immense delusion persist when survival pressures would seem to foster growing percentages of men and women capable of making discerning, accurate judgments? In their March 10th paper, The Cognitive Foundations of Ideological Orthodoxy, Threat Avoidance, In-Group Mobilization and Signaling, Antoine Marie and Michael Bang Peterson, political scientists at Aarhus University in Denmark, pose the question this way. Navigating the world and solving problems would seem by default to be best done with beliefs that fulfill the epistemic goal of faithfully portraying how things are. Prima facie, one would thus expect selection to favor belief formation systems that prioritize accuracy and motivations to flexibly correct those beliefs in the face of compelling evidence and arguments, including in the domain of ideological beliefs. How in this context do powerful orthodox mindsets emerge, the authors ask, mindsets that restrict free thinking armed with a disproportionate righteousness with which they try to protect cherished narratives. Oh man, we're out of time. You want to check out the rest of that? You can find it at the New York Times, but gives you an idea of why some people believe in the lies that we're hearing. Everybody have a great day. Thanks for tuning in.
Tired of hearing only one side of the story? Do you want news and information from people who, like you, know what it's like to work hard every day and still struggle to make ends meet? Then tune in to The Rick Smith Show every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be part of the conversation. Tune in, turn on, and take back the American dream. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come the talk.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry
and Jane Mattinair.
Before I send boxes over, I have to take all of my things out. These boxes were interspersed with all sorts of things.
But who doesn't stuff their pants and their shoes into a box full of work documents to sort out later? Every time I leave a job, that's what I end up doing with my box of work papers. Bras go in there and just, you know, and I'll sort it out later.
As Goes Wisconsin, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to Lake Air,
WLAK 1260 AM Amory,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Jim Ryan.